All right, with that, if it's okay, I'll call the roll. And as promised, I will not always start with the A's so that people lower in the alphabet don't have to wait as long. So if you are participating remotely, just please remember to unmute yourself and let us know that you are here. If you're on a phone, you will unmute yourself by using star six. Yoon. Absent. Weisenberger. Krishenowicz. Yes. All right. Simon?
Yes.
Shea?
Here.
Schumacher?
Here.
Shiner? Here. Rogers?
Here.
Riley?
Here.
Ricchetti? Okay. Peavy?
Here.
Papernick?
Here.
Oates?
Here.
Norman? Nicholas?
Here.
Navarro?
Here.
McAdams?
Here.
McCauley? Lucci? Kreisman? Kirk? Caledon? Pescatello?
Here.
Kang?
Here.
Kirk Johnson? Ken Johnson?
Here.
Jessica Iverson?
Here.
Okay. Herman?
Herman, here.
Oh, Herman, thank you. Hartshorn?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Graham? Luce?
Garcia-Luce.
Garcia-Luce, thank
here.
You. Yep, you go by both? Okay.
I go by Luce.
You go by Luce. Okay, got it. Thanks. Foster? Economos?
Here.
Duba Clancy?
Here.
DeSorbo Quinn?
Here.
Creedy?
Here.
Burkett?
Here.
Thank you. Brandhorst?
Here.
Bonner?
Here.
Baird? Bachner?
Here.
Austin?
Here.
Arouse? Addy? Let me double check. One, two. All right, we have a quorum. Okay.
Great, so before we get in our agenda tonight, I would like to start off with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place where many people of diverse backgrounds live and gather.
One of the minutes. All right. So at the top of every meeting, we will start by calling meeting to order, the land acknowledgement, and then the next order of business is approval of the minutes from the June 7th, 2021 meeting. The way we do this with parliamentary procedure is we start by inviting someone to make a motion to approve the minutes, get a second, and then we can discuss the matter. So can someone please make a motion to approve
the minutes? I move the motion that we approve the minutes of June 7th meeting as written.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Renee? Is there any discussion or corrections?
And we should say too that if you ever feel like there are corrections, when the agenda and packet comes out, you can email one of us and let us know. And we can
absolutely
get that.
All right, hearing none, then we can just do this on voice vote. So if you want to approve the minutes, you'll signify by saying aye. And then if there's anyone who wants to say nay, we'll do that. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please say nay. All right, motion passes. Next item on the agenda is public comment. We don't have any public comment.
Point of order.
Yeah, sure. So these meetings are open to the public, And if someone wishes to come in and share comments about the advisory group or items on the agenda, they're welcome to come in and make those comments.
I want to make a comment. Doesn't have anything to do with what you said, but I immediately began to see that we either are going to be printing quite a bit of material, and that requires paper and ink and a device. I would like to suggest that we, you know, the three of you, I guess, or whoever is doing the administration work, find out who doesn't have access to the appropriate equipment and supplies, and that they be provided with a printed copy.
Okay, we can do that.
Is this a situation where the village can drop off the supplies?
In terms of the packets, I'll have to think about that logistically, just with the number of members. If there's anyone who wants a printed copy, just either you can let me know now or you can let me know after the meeting. Just send me an email and we'll be happy to figure out how we can get those distributed.
Thank you for letting us.
That's good. Any other comments? Okay, and we can move on.
Great, so we're gonna start off with our small group discussions today. I think there are 25 of you in the room. So if you want to bucket yourselves to about five people a group, today we're gonna be talking about the idea of the difference between fitting in versus belonging. So if you want to arrange yourselves so that you've got your five, we will be spending about 10 minutes talking about this, 10 to 15 minutes. And half of the people in the group. I should have asked people to move after I gave instructions. I realize that now. We know who are going to be the chatters in this group, right? So half the people in the group will talk about what it might mean to belong in a group or community, and the other half will talk about fitting in and maybe what those differences might be as you think about it and reflect upon that as you're talking through that. And then we'll come back together as a group and share our thoughts.
And we have 27, so if we go over, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, thank you, partner.
Hey, Sam, can you come out?
Hi. If you wanted to get steps in, that'd be great. Yeah, if you could. Is there a way to?
Yeah, I think the mirror. Yeah, so the mute there.
Okay.
Is there anyone else on the Zoom call?
I am.
Hey.
It's Holly Economos.
Hi, I'm Laurel Burkett.
Are you related to the other Burkett's?
I am. I have three younger brothers, so you might know that.
So my son played hockey.
Oh, okay. My mom mentioned that. His name was Teddy, is that right?
Yeah, my son.
Oh, nice.
So no Hank and your mom and dad.
They love hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard to be done with that, you know? It was kind of... So every once in a while, I'll go over and I'll watch when they have the reunion games or something like that.
Yeah, those are always fun.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to go on this committee?
So I recently moved to River Forest. And then I do a lot of D&I stuff in my current job. And so I was like listening to like, I think it was like Kathy and like whoever she was running against. They're like,
oh, Patty.
Yeah. They had some like type of like open forum. It wasn't like a debate, but right. She like mentioned it and I was like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting. Cause I do so much of it right now. I like hire people for a company. And so like, that's like all we talk about all the time. So I kind of wanted to like learn about what other people were doing.
Oh, that's a perfect thing to get involved with for sure.
Yeah. And they really like it. So that's why I'm here. But why did you get involved?
Cause I had just left the township. I was a trustee for 4 years and kind of still wanted to be involved. But I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. And I figured a committee was a little bit more my speed.
Yeah.
And I guess my big thing is one of the things that I'm interested is, you know, I mean, a lot of people move to River Forest for various reasons. And I guess one of the reasons, or I think like a, is whatever your thing is, River Forest fit that, whatever that is. So I'm kind of interested in why people necessarily want to change that. And I'm not saying, you know, everything in life can be tweaked, you know,
yeah.
As much as I can be tweaked, you know, my kids can be tweaked, my house could be tweaked, the schools could be tweaked. But I guess I am wondering like where, you know, how far do people want to go with this, I guess is the mm-hmm. question.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
You know, I guess I think in general, we society have come a long way,
mm-hmm.
you know, say from, my generation to where we are now. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's enough, but I'm just saying that, you know, people think, oh my God, we're still in the olden days. Well, we've really come a long way already and things take time and, you know, you can't change overnight. And so I guess I'm kind of interested to see, like maybe the concept is just to get ideas of where to go in the future. You know, as opposed to like, if I'm interested to see if people say, oh, I want to change it next week, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I decided to do this committee.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like those changes take a long time. So it's right. Like, it would be like impossible for us to do everything so quickly.
Or maybe that's the whole concept of, I guess that's what sorry, I'm eating a cookie. Don't tell anybody.
Sorry, I have had some wings before I joined.
and I guess that's kind of what, you know, I want to know, like, have they said, and I can't recall, like, when is this a thing that's for a year? Have they set a timetable on this?
Holly, I think you signed up for 15 years.
Yeah, right, Kat, thanks. And then I'm passing the torch to you.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know of any time frame that they've
Kat, did you hear what Laurel and I had to say about our reasoning kind of for the committee, being on the committee?
Yeah.
So I, that's what I guess I'm kind of you know, like, let's just say it's, let's pretend it's between now and the end of the year, you know, come December 31st. I guess I'm interested to hear, like, what like, are they to present ideas for the village for the future, or are they, you know, ideas for the future and some things we can implement now, or are they major changes? You know, I guess that's what I kind of don't know. And I'm a little apprehensive in where, you know, where we're going to go with that. And I don't know, I'd love to hear your opinion, Kent, too. You know, what do you feel or think?
I'm kind of in the same mindset as you are, you know, curiosity about what people are thinking, what plans they have. Growing up in the, you know, I've basically lived here all my life. And, you know, like you say, I mean, we talked at the last meeting about, you know, the River Forest Tennis Club and Oak Park Country Club, and talk about where we've come. You know, the tennis club did not allow Catholics in as a member of the club.
Right.
And the country club, you know, didn't allow
Protestants,
you know, Jewish people into the club. Yeah. You know, so you look at those things and my parents' opinion of things and look where we are today. And, you know, so it's all of that is very positive. And guess what? The world didn't crumble when Catholics were admitted into the River Forest Tennis Club. You know, you kind of like, oh my God, you know, but, you know, I guess my gut feeling is right now, I don't see a lot that's broken in River Forest.
I
don't know that we need to make major changes in things, like you said earlier, you know, tweak something here and there, or come up with a good idea, or, you know, be more inclusive. And I'm cool with that. What I don't want to see is, you know, changes made for change's sake, just to make, you know, certain people feel better about themselves.
Right. And that's 100%. So I'm kind of, you know, where it's interesting, Laurel wants, you know, I'm not trying to quote you or anything, but it almost seems like I'm glad that you are on it to give me the ideas of what you or that generation or that, you know, what you are thinking about possible changes. And I feel like, you know, I want to stop, you know, or hold back somebody that says, I don't know, I want to paint all the roads green, you know, or whatever, you know, that whatever they like to be green, so they want to paint the roads green, or what, you know what I mean? Like something crazy. So it's not that I, you know, don't value people's opinions. I love to hear new stuff and new ideas. I just am hoping that, you know, we all moved here for a reason, and which means we liked what we have.
Right. You know, change, you know, the only constant in life is change. You know, you know, there will be changes, and you want changes made in a constructive, positive way instead of changes that might impact, you know.
Well, as you said, your family's lived here for a long, long time. I'm sure you've seen tons of changes. Right. I've been here since, you know, 2007 and seen tons of changes. Mm. So, you know, change, absolutely, mm. You know, but I guess I never really felt like there was a major change, mm-hmm. You know, adding bike lanes, things like that. That's not a major change to me.
No.
You know, those are great suggestions and great implementations. So I guess that's where I'm not sure how people are feeling or what, you know, that's what I'm interested to hear.
And that's what we're waiting to hear is kind of where the committee goes in terms of making suggestions for changes. And I don't know what people have in mind. I don't know. Like I say, I'm kind of new to this stuff, and I want to learn too. I want to learn, you know, what could be made better. And how we can make it better. I'm all ears.
Laurel, with your job and stuff, do you see like small changes where you're involved, or do you see like, you know, big massive changes?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say there are like it's smaller changes. It takes a long time. Like, I started working for my company in 2017, and we were talking a lot about like D&I. Mm-hmm. I hire a ton of people in STEM backgrounds, so that's predominantly white males. And so all the people I'm hiring are basically white males. And so the more we talk about it, I think the more changes happen. And it's not necessarily like, in my perspective, saying like, you know, we have to hire someone who's not qualified. It's more of just like keeping an open mind throughout that whole process. And then like making sure that other people feel like included in that process. Like if I'm hiring someone and they only interview with that same exact person who looks exactly the same, okay. Yeah. Then it's like, it doesn't give a good representation of the company. And like that person might not feel welcome there. So like in order for us to like recruit more like people of color or more like female talent, then like I have to try to get managers to kind of switch up who is interviewing that person. Just so like we're able to kind of make a little bit of an impact. And obviously it takes a really long time to kind of hire more people. But you know, there's little things you can do. Like think about like your like unconscious biases is something that we talk about a lot. Like, you know, when you think about where you went to school, like if you like, I went to Iowa, like I'm gonna be like, oh my God, I love Iowa. I'm gonna hire you immediately. Like, that's an unconscious bias that I have.
Right, okay, got it.
So it's just like, I think just like being aware of those things is important. And that's what I've learned. But I mean, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like I want to make an impact, but it's like, you can't really do it right the first time. So that's why I'm here. I'm just trying to like learn from other people to see, you know, what they've learned from this kind of work and how, you know, they're able to kind of impact it.
That's cool. That's a great, I like that. Well said, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if all these, like, I hope, Kent, like you were saying, I hope that as the amount of meetings or number of meetings continue, like, it's not just this format. Like, I sort of feel like I get the beginning of why we want to see how everybody's, you know, opinions about this whole, the basic idea is. Then at some point, we need to, you know, like, see what people are really thinking.
We have to talk more concrete, you know.
Right, we're
kind of dancing around the issue. You need to get into some more concrete ideas, and I'd be curious to hear what people have in mind and how far
when would we start that? Yeah, exactly.
And like you say, I'm all ears, but I don't want, as I said earlier, I don't want change for change sake. I want it to be a positive change that would, you know, my kids, hopefully my kids will move back to the community, and I want them to have a great place to live.
Yep. Awesome. And did she say, let's see, we will rejoin the group in 2 minutes. I'm going to go grab a glass of water.
Perfect. Okay.
Wonderful. You guys are having too good of a time talking. I love it. I love that this brought up such good conversation. No. I know. Where's my gavel?
No, let's bring it in. Everybody, we're ready.
Okay.
Do you guys want us to move back to our seats, or are we still talking later?
We are not talking later, but welcome.
Why don't we just sit where we are right now?
Yeah.
Do you want to answer this question?
Yeah. Okay, everyone. So, different than last, we're not going to put anybody on the spot or groups on the spot for this one. So, we just want you guys to raise your hand. We're going to ask just a couple of questions that came out. We would love it if each group had a response, but feel free to, I won't say feel free to not respond, but if you feel free to raise your hand at will and we will select you. So, the first question is, with the two questions, what are some of the major themes that we saw across both terms, or both two themes? The two discussions, did they have any themes that were similar?
What's similar between fitting in and belonging?
Relationships,
Tony? Good.
The internal need to be a part of a group. Either we fit in or just fit in or belong. We always want to be part of something.
Need. Go ahead.
In both situations, a very personal and intentional involvement is needed.
Personal and intentional. Yeah, I agree. Anything else? Anything from this area? Did anyone have any emotional or visceral responses to this question or a reaction when thinking about the difference of these terms?
Ambivalent,
no emotional reaction? Yeah.
I think there's a part of me that felt sadness.
Yeah.
Because I thought about times in my own life.
Yeah.
Where I've tried to fit in, or felt for my survival I had to fit in.
Yeah.
And so I think just little brief glimpses of, well, that was really hard, or that was difficult.
Yeah. I agree. We kind of talked about that too, about times where people were told, or we were told, that we had to fit a certain mold and that we just weren't a part of, that was just not something that was part of our DNA to do, and what that did to us emotionally.
I think, John, you raised your hand on this.
Yeah, I mean, I felt some sadness and vulnerability, thinking about or talking about how I was different. In my case, it was not color, but it was like poverty. So it's just, feels vulnerable to talk about.
Did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this group talked about how neither one is permanent. You might, belonging might not be permanent, and fitting in is either, and that can shift.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I'm a transplant. I was born and raised in Mexico City as a Mexican, as a mestizo. It didn't have anything to do with race. Mm-hmm. It had mostly to do with social standing. Today, when I live here after over 40 years that I live in the United States, I still feel jealous when I see somebody that just came in about 2 years ago. They are fitting so well so soon. It's a jealousy that I feel. I don't know if people can relate to that, but it's miserable.
Yeah. It's like they know something that you don't,
maybe I'm doing things wrong to go from fitting to belonging.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and right, we talked about the multi-generational, but like this town, there are families who have been here for 100 years, and they lived here, their kids lived here, their grandkids lived here, their grandkids, kids are going to live here, and how that almost, someone made the point, I don't know which one of you it was, so please, that like, you know when you don't fit in, but you can't always see when you belong, because you almost are like oblivious to the barriers that stop other people from belonging. That was not me that said that.
That's great. We talked about that too, that multi-generational families that live here, and it's easier when you are born into that or you marry into that to both belong and fit in. But when you come to River Forest from someplace else and you don't know very many people or nobody, it's much harder to both fit in and belong. It takes a lot longer than if you lived here a long time before you married into it.
Can I ask, because I guess I'm completely oblivious. I just moved here from the East Coast a year ago, and I completely do not feel that. Like, I know that there are families that have been here for, I don't know, which is a little bit crazy for me, because where I lived, people are from all over, they move, they switch. But honestly, I do not feel that way. Like, I don't see differences between people who've been here, I don't know, five generations and people who just moved here from New York, like I did.
Yeah. I didn't feel that way until...
But just the comment that, you know, the group made.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way until like 4 years after I moved here. I moved here, what, 5, 6 years ago? I can't remember, but I didn't feel that way until I started interacting with kids' families. And I saw like, oh, they're... You almost have to look at like family dynamics, and I guess I have an, because I am in the education system. I didn't feel like that when I moved here either, though. So I do get what you're saying,
Mindy.
If I could, please, I think it's really fair that everybody shares their experience, and we shouldn't argue about what one person's experience is versus another's.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a really good point. And I love that you said, you know, that you have been welcomed into the community. You feel like you belong. And yet there may be situations where there were some opportunities that you had, you know, that allowed that to happen. Or your wonderful outgoing nature, you know, that
just like
the
to learn
that,
more. Obviously,
yeah.
I'm brand new.
Yeah.
And I know that some, which is very surprising for me, because I did not grow up in an environment where people are staying in the same place for generations. Like, people just move around. So this is kind of very new to me. Like, everybody knows everything about everyone here, I feel. And I never experienced it. I swear that I lived in New York City for many years, and people are just mind their own business, and they just kind of, exactly. So this is very new for me, and I would love to learn more about the other people's experience, because mm-hmm. like I said, this is not my experience, but it also could be my mindset. I just don't maybe pay attention to things like that. And yes, I met a lot of people here, a wonderful families, and so I cannot complain about being welcome.
That's great.
Dick.
So I think one of the things, number one, this is an extremely complicated discussion. I mean, we can get to the really superficial difference between the two phrases, but you know, it all depends on what we're talking about belonging to. I don't know any of these multi-generational people. I've been living here for 35 years. I haven't met one of them. I guess I don't belong in their group, but as far as I know, that means they're not belonging in my group either. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's not that I'm not trying to fit in, or I am fitting in, or... And to Doug's point, I guess you'd have to say I was brought up affluent. I was brought up on the North Shore. I was the son of a doctor, of a lawyer, and my mom's family was all doctors, and you know, as it turned out, I was actually one of the poorer people in Winnetka. But I'm sure we were in the top 5% based on the things I've been hearing about nationally. So I didn't feel like I belonged. I mean, some of my friends, the things that they did on vacation was phenomenal.
I grew up in the North Shore.
There are,
sure.
You're always, there's a, even people who are well off can feel this sense of not belonging and wanting to fit in. And I was uncomfortable and shy and all the rest of it, and still am. Most of the people on my block, when I finally went to a block party, knew me as the dog guy, and I had no idea this was true. Because I basically slept in River Forest and I lived in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, I just wanted to comment on that, that there's a lot of different ways of looking at this.
But that's the purpose of the question, right? To learn that everybody feels in some way that you don't fit in. It's not just specifically race. It's not specifically your background. You just go through it. And it's good to see, like, you know, for me as an African-American, see other people experience it on different levels, because that means we do have common bonds and we do see things that we do have in common. And I personally don't end up feeling like it's just me, right? So.
And one thing I just want to say to your point too, Dick, one thing I like that you said was that kind of came up, that there are circles of belongingness, right? So that there might be these sort of different circles where people fit in.
Clicks.
But if you come together, there might be a little bit of a tension there, right?
A couple more. Think about.
I was just going to say that I think differences always exist. Like, no matter where you are, whether you're fitting in or belonging, like, there's always going to be differences because we're not cookie cutters. I mean, there could be much to be said about, like, suburban cookie cutter-ness, but somebody said something earlier about survival in terms of belonging, and to me, that's, like, one of the fundamental differences. I mean, you can fit in as the day is long, but...
Yeah.
You know, like people talk about like the barbecue, right? Like you're invited to the barbecue, you're not. And it's like a sense of belonging, right? Like to me, belonging, it is about survival, security, safety, right? Like sometimes I've met Black families who can afford to live in Oak Park or River Forest, but they choose to live in Bronzeville because it's a different situation. Maybe they think the police are going to treat them differently. Maybe they think their neighbors are going to treat them differently. Their teachers are going to treat their children differently. That's a different level of like, I'm different than the other people in my town.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real, it's a big difference to decide to live, you know, in a West suburb as to live in like Bronzeville. And to me, it speaks a lot of survival, security, safety. Like,
I wrote those words.
One more in the back, Rosie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, one thing just after hearing everyone talk, I don't know, I'm like hearing a big, or now I'm realizing the difference maybe between fitting in and belonging is that fitting in is like an action that you do. It's like an individual thing that you choose to do. Whereas belonging is like other people making you feel welcome. And I think that like that's something that we all actively have to do rather than focusing on fitting in, making other people feel welcome and belong. You know, like it's an action that other people do towards you, making you feel like you belong, right? I don't know, I just like everything everyone's saying.
I like that a lot. I think that when we were talking about it, one of the things that we talked about is when we needed to try to fit in somewhere, it took a lot of energy to do that. And like, if that place is maybe your work or, you know, your school or, you know, with people that you see day in, day out, you're just trying to go through your normal day in life. And then you have this added, you know, like energy that you're expending and stress of fitting in while you're doing, you know, just being, right? And so what that might be for people.
You almost have to like perform, you have to do like a lot of performative stuff to try to like fit in to a, like the way I feel like you're talking about, like you have to be, and then you have to try and fit in, and you're not being yourself because you're making up this character, like you're pixeling yourself to try to fit in to these boundaries that other people have set for you. And I think to me, that's one of the differences is like, we were talking about this, is belonging, you're in a space, you've been just welcomed into a space with like consideration of all the support you need, whereas fitting in, you're like trying to hide parts of yourself and make your life seem better to be accepted until they throw you out.
Wow. Welcomed versus hiding. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also talked about the fitting in as maybe being a start to belonging. Somebody used an example of a shirt, you know, polka dot shirt, everybody's wearing a polka dot shirt, you're not. But at least you're wearing a shirt. So it's sort of a start. I mean, you kind of, so that there can be some commonality, you got to at least have a shirt on. It doesn't have to look like everybody else's. I think it's really hard if you don't, at least, especially if you're coming in new to a group, you know, an established group. I think there has to be a certain level of fitting in so that the larger group can relate. I don't know that that's a good or a bad thing, but
yeah,
I think conversations like these are a good strategy to start to foster a sense of belonging, because what you're talking about, no matter what, we'll all be different. And it's like understanding those differences and respecting them and appreciating the value that those differences bring to a group. And so anyway, thank you for including conversations like these, because it helps to get to know each other better, but also to hear, it's understanding all of our differences and why it's so important for us all to be here.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So what do you think, we've maybe touched upon it a little bit. What do you think fitting in versus belonging has to do with the work that we're here to do as an equity group?
I was beginning to want to ask, why are we doing all this stuff ourselves?
Yeah,
it's comfortable, it's enjoyable, but how are we going to be able to use this for, so to speak, giving a structure so formal, which is a government of a city? You know, this sense that we are experiencing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my
wishes
that we get to the point of being able to do.
Yeah.
Mandy?
I think it is being a second generation immigrant from Italy. My grandparents, my parents had very different expectations. They just wanted to work hard and make better for us. And I think the next generation and my generation, we want more than just to work hard. I think we want to feel like we belong to a community. We want to know that we're respected, not just by the value of our house or the value of, you know, what our kids, what college they got into. I think we want to feel a different thing, and I definitely know my son does. So to me, this whole experience helps us understand what different people's point of views are and how they, what expectations they have and what experience they're having. And so I personally find this time-consuming but valuable. That's just me.
Stacy.
And I think Rosie, I think you totally hit the nail on the head with the difference between fitting in and belonging. And I think for this group, you know, we as individuals, we're, you know, spend a lot of our time, energy on the fitting in part. And I think the role this group can play is for belonging. creating the environment, right? We're not the ones doing the fitting in, we're creating the environment of belonging through this group. And so I think that the benefit that that brings to the village is it reduces the amount of energy and effort that, you know, people and residents of the village have to expend in order to live here. And then to your point about not just wanting to work hard, but to actually really be able to thrive. And so I think that's really where this group can bring tangible value, is to focus on the belonging, creating the environment, because that is where I think we make it easier for the folks who live here to thrive in the way that they want to.
I came in through the process that was affirmed in this society when I first came in the 60s, was that it was good to be integrated.
Yeah.
And the promise was that I was going to be feeling better if I just joined in. So I tried. But... in general, superficially, I would say yes, I was having, you know, perks and I was enjoying the thing, but at the end of the day, somebody somewhere would continue to say about me or say to me, I'll be honest with you, no matter how hard you try,
yeah,
you ain't like us.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to deal with that within myself to prevent feeling so retribution, revenge, you know, ways to get back at them or something, to punish them for feeling that way. I asked the question that, you know, if fitting in requires more sacrifice, you lose more, or what? I experience loss in wanting to fit in and integrate. And after a while, you can do that. But the day will come when it'll hit you and say, don't be stupid. You've been told that you're not going to ever be one of them.
So I hear you saying that it makes you feel sometimes worth less than other people, that it can make you angry and stressed and focused on that, and that, like, you'll never get a fair shake, right?
My feelings were more to do with the fact that I had come into this country as a developed, fully developed professional. This country didn't spend money to produce a school teacher. So I said, just take me for what I am, right? Let me do my work.
Yes.
Now I still had to prove myself socially. I still had to, you know, go along with certain things that made me very uncomfortable, like bad mouthing other people on the basis of their race and stuff like that. I said, within myself, I was saying to myself, don't you try to fit in on that. You begin to lose freedom.
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to produce bad feelings. The truth of the matter is I had to confess the fact that I also became more and more involved in issues of faith. I became a Lutheran pastor. A little bit of a higher level of professional plus for people in society in the United States. We seem to be do more respect and acceptance because we were pastors than because we were just teachers. All of these things hit me, and I'm asking myself, at that time, the push was to institutionalize change and respect and acceptance and tolerance for the different on the part of the mainstream of society.
Yeah.
The ones who were to be accepted and tolerated never received any readiness preparation for that.
Yeah.
Never helped.
And you had a really good comment about like, what is it that we lose, right? Like for me, my family believed that too, coming as immigrant parents into the United States and having kids in the late 70s, early 80s, we lost a lot of our culture, right?
Yeah,
to fit in into the American dream, like to buy into that for sure. So I appreciate those comments a lot. And I think that what we are all saying here in one way or another is that when we talk about the spaces that we're in, when we talk about this community, when we talk about River Forest, what we really are maybe looking to try to do here is create a space where more people have the opportunity to feel like they belong here. Right, that they have to do less fitting in, that, you know, where are the areas, where is it that we can, as individuals in our everyday life, but here collectively as this group, how can we make it easier for people to belong? And I think as we get into this work, we're gonna find some really easy ways to do that. And there might be some other, you know, longer, you know, ways or harder ways, longer discussions, but at the crust of it, it's how can we make people feel belonged and welcomed in this community? Yeah.
I just want to make an observation that as we go on and know each other longer, you'll realize that I basically have a contrary point of view a lot of the time. I'm wondering, and I started to ask this question before we got finished and you got us into these questions. They were talking about the people that we were talking, I think, about school kids and how there were groups that wouldn't let you.
Could you speak a little louder, please?
I think we were talking about school kids, and I think we were talking about kids that acted as if you didn't do it our way, you didn't belong to us. And my question really is, did they belong? And I think that I spend more time I don't want to belong than I want to belong. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, people have these groups.
I know what you're saying.
Now, to practice law, I had to be a member of the bar. I had to be with all these other lawyers. Lawyers dislike lawyers as much as everybody else. You guys tell your jokes. We've got the jokes before you. In any event, but at the same time, I feel an affinity to Ken. Because we're both lawyers. We're not the same kind of lawyer. We couldn't do the same thing necessarily. But, you know, there are clubs and there's the right to association in the First Amendment that people rarely think about. I'm not going to try and get into all those clubs. I'm not going to try and get into the Lutheran church. I'm not going to try and get into the synagogue. I'm not going to try and go to the Catholic church. I'm not going to go to church. That's the thing I'm not going to do. But, you know, I there's a lot of me that doesn't need to belong to what everybody wants to belong to.
Yeah.
Fine, your family's been in River Forest since they cracked the first pavement. I don't care.
Yeah. Stacey,
my family
did you want
has
to say
been
something?
In the United States before it was the United States when they landed the Mayflower. So big deal.
Yeah.
Turns out those people were bad too.
She wants to say something?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a perfect example because I think that's the fitting in versus belonging. Like the fitting in is or not is saying, I'm not fitting into whatever it is you guys are doing. That's not interesting to me. That's not what I do. The belonging is not you, but others being like, cool. That, you know, like that's, we know that's awesome. That's great.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I think that's where we want to have the belonging to be able to say, like, to be able to, you know, to, let that be a, you know, not a thing that we have to opine on or evaluate or judge, because who cares, right?
Right.
It's your life, you live it the best you can, and, you know, that's enough. Very good.
That's
yeah,
a great
people
point.
People feel free to do what...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point.
To do or not to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have this be the last comment
then. Yeah, okay. I think that, you know, where some of those choices to whether you can actually belong to a group matter, probably come to like aspects of like privilege and, you know, relative access to, like, if the group that you can't belong to is the group that, you know, banks give loans to buy a home, like that starts to be problematic, right? And so I think, you know, sometimes it can be more superficial about, you know, I don't want to associate with those people, but then sometimes because of, you know, real systemic issues in society related to race or sex or, you know, a myriad of other things, those the inability to fit in or be your full self in an environment and really belong start to matter more to your, you know, progress and access to resources and things like that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if this thought is fully formed into my mind, but like on the topic of like belonging varying with like what we're doing with the work here of policies, it's like in some ways that policies and laws have been like formed up into a certain point is to the benefit of people who could like care less whether or not they belong or not, like what you're saying, right? But like these policies are made in a way that like even if you don't care, if your skin is a certain color, like you're good, you know, like kind of like what you're saying. And so, right, with a certain level of privilege, you could do this, you could do that, you could do whatever, but like as long as you look a certain way or whatever, like the police are going to treat you this way. And like, do you know what I'm saying? So it's not, I don't know, not all of us can afford to be like as flippant about that.
And so I think that's part of the work that we'll do here too, is understanding different aspects of the community and seeing how people, where people feel like they fit in, where do people feel like they belong? When does it hurt somebody's livelihood or ability to gain access to things, right?
Let me test this. Isn't it true then that we should more and more think of ourselves as people who are not here to change the world or even river forest? We just want to work with the structures of government of this city to enable the workers to be more resourceful, to maybe show more intentionality and going out of the way to attend to certain needs, you know, like the ones you mentioned, loans and the resources, and that they should be able to have access.
So I think I think you've hit the nail right on the head, that we are here, a lot of why we are here is for the policies, the process, the systems of government. There are other aspects too, like if you look at, you know, what we are proposed to do with the Twin Village Covenant with Maywood, right? And a lot of that is relationship, you know? And I think even as we were passing, as we were talking about that Twin Village Covenant with Maywood, it sparked something in people's imagination about how can we connect with a neighborhood that we haven't connected with very often. What are the different ways to do that, right? And so, yes, we might be here to do those things, but as our work continues, I think it will spark something. I'm seeing something. Do you have any comments?
I fundamentally disagree. I think that's a
go ahead.
Limited view of our work and our mission. And I think that part of our mission is what you articulated, that and that's stated in the charge to us as a committee. But I think that there are more general and sort of undefined parts of our mission that we are going to organically find and that are going to find us. And I think those are going to end up being the most important part of our work. I think that this look, I'm a believer that you change the world one person at a time, one block at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one school at a time, and that's how you change the world. So are we going to change the world? Maybe not right away, but I think that the work of this committee is going to be meaningful, and it's going to have impact, and is going to hopefully bring real change to our community.
I agree with you. Like,
I'd probably join you, but in other groupings. I just don't see this group created by a governmental entity to be able to go beyond relating and assisting and working with that entity to become what it wants to be, more open, more easily, you know, able to relate to others. But the whole world is a big bugaboo for me.
Right.
We can just limit it to just our village, and we can say, you know what, we are going to make an enormous impact on our village.
Another way of looking at it is make it easy for my math, but we're 30 strong right now. If we all talk to 5 people, we've now impacted 150 people in River Forest. And then those people talk to a few people. We only have 11,500 people in River Forest. So we can get to that point by education. So I would agree that education is going to be just as important as covenants and mandates and progressive directions as well. So
go ahead. And then that's our last comment. I want to make one more comment because of this, and then the motion. Yes, I don't want us, and I don't think any of the co-chairs want us to be limited in our thinking when we're coming across the issues that we come across in this group. So I think that we want to be as broad as possible. We want to be able to start big and not close down options for ourselves as we get to issues and topics. I think someone said, like, you know, we want to push ourselves a little bit, right? We want to find reasons for yes, not reasons for no. So Mindy made a motion to close this topic.
No, parliamentary procedure. We don't actually need to vote on it. We can just move on. We can just move on. Noted.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, keep working on that.
You want me to just talk? So the way the agenda is structured is if there's any discussions from one meeting that are carried over to a next meeting, that will appear under unfinished business. There's no unfinished business from the last meeting under item 5, so we can move to item 6A. And so this is just, I'm not going to read everything that I sent to you. I just gave everybody in the packet a Robert's Rules of Order cheat sheet. Robert's Rules of Order is also called parliamentary procedure. And with the way the group operates and some of these discussions, as you can see, there are just times where it's just a discussion and we don't have to be really formal about it. But when there is something official, some official action that the advisory group needs to take, then we do need to follow that parliamentary procedure to make motions, just like we did with the minutes. And so we will use that parliamentary procedure when we get into item 6B, and we will just continue to refer back to this. And if anybody ever has questions about something, please let me know. I don't proclaim to be a lawyer and an expert in Robert's Rules of Order. I follow the cheat sheet too. So if there's ever anything that comes up, just let me know and we can do it. Are there any questions about what I sent you though, before we move on? Okay.
No, as long as
okay.
We are able to distinguish between what is general conversation and actions that have been moved.
Yep, absolutely. So when something on the agenda says discussion only, it means that there's no action that needs to be taken by the body. But under 6B, where it says consideration and recommendation, that's where we start getting into action. All right, so no further discussion on 6A, we can go on to 6B. And this is the consideration and recommendation regarding the definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. So when the DEI advisory group was established, there was a request that the terms diversity, equity, and inclusion be clearly defined so that this group in particular is working off of a shared understanding of what the definitions mean. And so we have some definitions that have been prepared and reviewed by the Chief Diversity Officer of Dominican University here for the commission, or excuse me, I use the term commission, committee, and advisory group kind of interchangeably, but you all, for you all to consider and discuss and make a formal recommendation to adopt these as the decision. So in order to get the discussion started, I need someone to make a motion to adopt these definitions, and then I'll need somebody to second it. And just so you know too, when you make a motion and second something, it doesn't mean you have to vote in favor of it. We're just making the motion and the second so that we can start the discussion. You can ultimately cast a different vote, but we just want to start the talk.
I motion to adopt the proposal.
Thank you.
I second.
Thank you. Now we can discuss it.
I'd like to speak to the motion. What I see here does not qualify as definitions. They are expressions in examples of inclusion, you know, for instance. Under diversity, we want to include everything that the professor said about diversity, but it's they are not, these three statements are not put together as motions. And the question that I have in my mind is, what is that we're voting for? Affirming that these are working understandings of what we want to recommend. In other words, they're not going to be transferred as formal motions, you know, that are from beginning to end developed the way a lawyer would, you know, want to see them. They are not. You could write a book on for each paragraph. It's not in the form of a motion. So I have trouble with that.
And I think, Robert, a way of thinking of it is, how do we get 36 or so people all working to move some type of progress? We got to have some universal definition, but not necessarily the definition. You may think of it differently, but with regard to this discussion, you know, pending we don't include it or make it longer or we don't agree to add different terms, we all are working from the same point, so that we don't go off on tangents that are not related to it and we can get work done. So it's more of a way to make our process more efficient. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, this is perfect or that we, you know, necessarily have to go by it, but that's what the goal is, to us all be able to work from a standard definition, albeit not the best definition.
My question on that regard, I see the people that actually need to have more formal definitions to vote on as the board of this village. This is an advisory group.
True.
And we seem to have more liberty to say we want to state that these three statements as they are written represent our best level of wisdom at this point and understanding of what the questions and the sense of direction that we would like to continue to work on, something like that.
I have a question. So we will vote on those definitions proposed, and if if there's majority that support that, that's what we'll keep, right?
Yeah.
So I think that would be a good start for us. Like everybody review them, I assume.
And
if we vote, that means that the majority of the room either agrees or disagrees, and we could move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're talking in the agenda, talk about definitions, but on this it talks about key terms, and I think that's what Ken, you were talking about, are key terms that we can all agree on. That's what we're looking for, right? I know that's what he's questioning,
yeah.
But that's so it's not really definitions, but key terms that we can agree.
Mm-hmm.
That we can work with.
But
Jessica,
yes,
sorry.
Jessica, yes.
May I just ask a question about the Genesis, because you said it came from the chief diversity officer.
So these terms come from, yeah, absolutely. So if you look at the sources here, the terms in front of you come from the NOVA Collective, which is a consulting agency that works in the space of DEI in corporations, organizations in the Chicagoland and national area. So a trusted source for that. And then Dominican and the chief diversity officer here reviewed and approved it, as well as the definitions for these words.
Mm-hmm. Just for clarification though, we're not voting on the terms, we're just voting on specifically definitions for us to work on the framework.
Have a common understanding.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. All the other terms could be vernacular for us, but the only three things we're voting on, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So the terms that are that the board has sought definition are diversity, equity, and inclusion. The rest is informational.
That makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
my gosh,
yeah, that's,
imagine how long
as we as we have these discussions, many of these terms may come up. And for a lot of us, they might be unfamiliar. And so literally, like, you could keep this with you in this meeting and just be like, okay, yeah, got it. You know, that's what that's for. It's a resource for you. But we're really working right now and voting on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
All right.
Okay.
So is there any feedback, any suggestions, concerns?
I have a question.
Just procedurally. So when we want to move for a vote, can we just call for the question? Because I know that is the procedural use and rather than the board, but I can see that in your documents here. So like if somebody were to want to stop the conversation, can we just call for the question?
That is a thing you can do under Robert's Rules of Order. Call the question. So the risk in that then is people aren't comfortable with the fact that the discussion is over and it may make the vote a little bit difficult. And so I think we just want to be clear too, is at any moment, if you're not clear what the question is that you're voting on and what a yes vote means or a no vote means, then please raise your hand and say so. Because sometimes the way things are worded, particularly in government speak, you need to know what a yes means and what a no means and what the impact of that vote is. So the motion on the table, just to on that point, is to approve the definitions as is. If there are any amendments to the definitions, then we would want to hear
they
from you.
They could be taken up in the future.
They could be, but I think it would be meaningful, particularly at this point, if there's any concerns right now, that we try to address those right now and take as long as we need to have the discussion. I know we have an end time in mind, and that's fine. We can always continue the conversation if needed. But if there are any amendments to it, then we would want to take those under advisement now, if possible.
Question of information. You seem to have what Bradley do. That's why you're a co-chair. More experience in seeing how the board of the village operates more. Would this set of three statements the way they are now be more helpful to them than a formal definition?
Yes, I think so. I think that this is what they are looking for when our board asked for definitions so they have an understanding of the kind of work that we are going to begin.
Because for the other, I don't know, this is something that we will probably get more information about it. What is the timetable to have a person working on the formal outcomes of the work of this advisory group I think it's a consultant.
Yep.
That consultant working with lawyers probably from the village could in future, if the village wanted, you know, put them in the form of specific motions that have been duly discussed and formulated to be their, it's their choice. But do we have a sense of timetable? When are we going to have that person on board?
I think that we are spending time now educating ourselves around what we think the needs of the community may be. So understanding how the community works first, and then building on that to determine a set of requirements for a consultant. And at that point, creating a request for proposal for consultants to come in and bid and explain how they would go about, you know, some of what we'd be interested in having them review in our community and working with us to potentially make changes and recommendations. If you're looking for a time frame, it's a longer time frame. Like we will probably spend, you know, till the end of the year kind of doing some of this work. So I think I mentioned before, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And there may be things that we can consider and take up and do without a consultant possibly, but I'm not 100% sure of the timeline. It'll depend on, you know, how we, I don't know if either one of you have an answer.
I don't have a specific answer.
Yeah.
Well, the answer would be stated in the form of a line item in the budget. They're going to hire a person this year.
There's money set aside in the village's consulting budget for this year. So if we get to a point where we feel comfortable moving forward, the village has already set aside those dollars. To the extent that they are not spent this fiscal year, and our fiscal year runs on a May 1 to April 30 basis. So if those funds, for whatever reason, are not spent by April 30th, then we would rebudget those funds because that is within the direction of what we're supposed to be doing.
But by April 30th, I think that we would want to have that set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go back to the definitions. I don't really love the fact that both diversity and inclusion have just this short little first sentence and then gets into the actual definition. I feel like the actual definition should be the C first, and then the fact that diversity is a fact and inclusion is a choice, maybe put that at the end. But I just feel like it would be a little more if you said diversity is the representation of blah, 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 and at the end you could say diversity is a fact. And then inclusion is the intentional act of creating environments, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you can say inclusion is a choice. I just feel like
I'm good with
the definition first.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Everybody feel?
Yes.
Okay.
When we talked about belonging versus fitting in, one of the things that was consistent was being new to River Gorge or not being new. And so I know the diversity language is very kind of legalistic. I wonder if we couldn't, for our purposes, add something about being a new resident.
Give us a little more on that.
How would you phrase that?
Language, age, gender, sexual orientation, mental or physical ability, learning styles, and new to River Forest.
Like the residency.
Longevity.
Residency? Would you be good
new
with
residents?
Well,
I think we're talking more about the
yes,
length of residency.
You know,
yeah.
The name of it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe length of residency?
Something
that was
like that.
That was Lisa's idea.
Something like that. I mean, I think we all talked about
how do people. Are people okay with that inclusion?
Yeah,
so should that be under inclusion though, not diversity?
Exactly.
Okay.
Let me.
I agree.
All right.
Let me fly this by. The first two words, diversity and equity, lend themselves more to formality and appropriate language. They are more enforceable than inclusiveness. Inclusiveness is a change of attitude. It's a set of behaviors that are not in need of being legislated, but rather they are the outcome of this kind of a process.
Yeah, I think specifically one of the reasons why we are looking at these three words is because the formal name of our committee is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Advisory Committee.
Group.
So
in essence,
what was asked was, can we establish what this group says those mean for
so
us,
these
right?
These are the parameters for the work of this advisory group.
I think that's a fair
for the village. I would say for the village. So in terms of incorporating length of residency, so we talked about including in the diversity, but rolling it into inclusion. So we just need to
maybe in people and communities, intellectual, social, cultural, and geographical. Is that a spot?
People and communities, intellectual, social, cultural, geographical,
and
longevity of being in said geographical community.
If you're going to make it personal to the village, intent, it's a choice, right? Intentionally creating an environment where a group can feel welcomed, respected, supported, and valued to fully participate no matter how long they have lived in the village.
Let's use the word community.
Community.
Yeah. So it's less,
How does everybody feel about that one?
I think that might change the definition of inclusion to focus entirely on length of residency versus,
And then it focuses on a one area.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Or if you live here, I think it's just.
I'm almost wondering if it belongs within diversity.
I don't
think so.
No.
Okay.
I think that's a fact. It is a fact how long you live there, feeling.
Yeah, right. If I might ask something, when I was, I did look at the cheat sheet, but I feel like when you're talking, what we're saying at the heart of what I think we're getting at with adding is we don't want people to feel excluded from being part of a community because of the length they've been here, right? I want to make sure we're.
I think that's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I don't know if it would fit in diversity because while you're right, it is a fact. That's almost not the aim in which we're including in the mission in the definition of statement.
Could you maybe send that question to our expert who created those definitions? Because maybe she left it out for a reason.
I think the mission was probably different as well, right?
Yeah.
So we could ask them how they would phrase it. I think that's Christina had.
I just want to give everybody also say, if we talked about the partner with Baywood and cities, just to make sure that we're also not solely focusing on the reporting, that is ultimately part of the focus, but just noting that specificity in terms of that aim.
Is the idea of inclusion to include a diverse group of people as described in the definition of diversity, and that by listing the different bases upon which we do have diverse backgrounds, including ethnicity, et cetera, we are then therefore being inclusive of all of those lists in the definition of inclusive. So by including it in diversity, it is by operation then included in inclusion.
I agree with that. And I also say that you could even add equity into that little reverse equation we're doing here. Yeah, because you're saying we want people of diverse backgrounds to be included, and we want them to feel, we want every, I guess I would have to reread the equity definition, so just, you may say, well, I, but like, we want everyone to feel like I have an equal playing field, which I feel like is similar to the equity definition, right? Or maybe not.
I think that that makes sense. Stacey, did you kind of pick up? So, that like within inclusion, we would say that, I don't have the exact phraseology, but
yeah,
that we would say that this includes those things that are within the definition of diversity. And then in diversity, we would say like the residency. Is
yeah,
that kind of what you were saying?
Yeah.
It sounds like our goal is to make residency have a comma next to it rather than a period, so that it doesn't, so it's not the end all be all, but it's one of many factors.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just gonna ask if there would be a way, you know, kind of as an added final sentence to inclusion, to say, you know, inclusion reflects the value of all experiences within our community, and maybe touch on the length of, you know, whether, you know, established or new, or maybe touch on length of residence in that way.
The values of diversity. And so that way we're bringing it back up to diversity if we put length of residency there.
Sure.
I noticed that these are very generic, sort of broad scope definitions. And most of them don't refer to River Forest per se. And we're going to be working with River Forest and Maywood. How does this residency issue play into that? Maybe we need a statement, another statement that narrows it down to our mission being, you know, and have some of the details there. You're adding one real specific to River Forest by the length of residency. But no other specifics regarding our community by changing the definition. I'm not against it. I just don't think it necessarily fits in the way these are written.
If somebody feels similarly to, you can say so. But I think that when we're talking about the different ways that people are diverse, length of residency is
okay.
Just another that. John.
Along the lines of what was just said, in the diversity paragraph, it's talking about socioeconomic status, marital status. You could just add residency status to that. You know, then that's a more broad. And I mean, the residency thing, you know, if you spend time in a city, you know, people sometimes don't ask where you live, they ask where do you stay. So residency status maybe should be in there, you know, because it's different.
Sorry, I will just pipe in to say the General Assembly just added, it's a very similar thing to the Illinois Human Rights Act as a protected status. So you cannot discriminate in employment based on somebody's
residency status.
More immigration status, but if I am just, you know, if I am here on a work visa for 2 years and I have 6 months left on that, that's, you cannot take that into consideration. So that the residency status could incorporate, you know, even a broader range of residences or.
Yeah, I want to insert my experience as an immigrant, and having worked with immigrants with and without documentation for residence, the fact is they're here. The fact is they're going to be interacting in some situations where the government, the village government, is going to have to relate to them. The fact is they go to stores, they go here, the fact is they interact in groupings, different. So the concept of residency would have to be defined to be broad enough, that, you know, to go toward the understanding of being actively present.
I think the term residency status, I feel like that's pretty broad. And so it includes what you were saying, Mindy, and what?
Yeah, I think they're both valid points. So your status, whether you're here with a visa or not a visa, is very different than if you're here for the first year and your kids go to school and they're going to school with three generations of River Forest kids and they're not included in the birthday parties because.
But does a frayed residency status could, does that not include both of those things? I think it's an umbrella for it. I think it's an umbrella.
I'm very popular. I like
umbrellas. All of these are sort of umbrellas, right?
Yeah.
Get passed out.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Megan, can you speak up just a little bit?
John's term incorporates the students who sometimes live here. They're not residents, but they're an important part of our community.
Yes.
There are lots of them.
Yeah.
So I think that a term like that then, it can speak to Mindy's point, but it can be broader and include the people who are in our community on a daily basis that aren't necessarily going to our schools.
And I had just one question. So in under inclusion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 4th line, it says geographical, in people and communities, intellectual, social, cultural, and geographical. What does geographical mean?
I think where you are in the community.
You mean what block of Ashland do you live type of question?
Yeah.
Or
what block of Ashland? Do you live on the north or south side? Do you live, you know, I think that's also broad.
I've noticed that I've been asked that many questions. What block? Oh, so is that this house?
So if I could, why don't I read back where we are on the definition of diversity so that I make sure as we move through this that we're all on the same page, because I think I may need a little bit of help with wording and inclusion. So diversity. Diversity is the representation of individuals within a group, i.e. workplace, community, etc., across different psychological, physical, and social differences that occur among any and all individuals, including but not limited to race, ethnicity, nationality, religion, socioeconomic status, education, marital status, residency status, language, age, gender, sexual orientation, mental or physical ability, and learning styles, period. Diversity is a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay to disagree, right? I do disagree with changing the way it's written in terms of, I think defining that diversity is a fact right there at the beginning is powerful. And then I think in the last one saying inclusion is a choice is powerful. You know, it's intended that way. That's why it was written that way. You know, it sort of, it just hits you right there that diversity is a fact, you know, in case you run aware and you thought you lived in a bubble and the world was not diverse, it is, it's a fact. So that's like, boom. And then inclusion, it's a verb, you know, it's like, it's a choice. It's something that we are choosing to do, that it's sort of our responsibility, it's our mission. So I think it's powerful to have it right there at the front.
Do we want to do a show of hands?
Do a straw poll.
Yeah. All those for favor of having it in the front of the definition?
Diversity is a fact, period. Instead of putting diversity as a fact.
And inclusion is a choice, period.
Yeah. Okay.
You take numbers. Keep your hands up.
Well, I think putting it at the end, I think it's clear we get the majority.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. It's easier to count.
And then at the end, just so we can
It's okay. So yeah,
that's right.
It's good discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll keep it beginning straw poll. And here's what I'll say too. At the end of this, if you feel strongly enough about it, when it comes time for the motion, we can do a couple things. We can break the definitions up and vote on them one by one, or we can vote on them as a group just to make things a little bit more expeditious. And if you disagree, you can vote no. You don't have to vote yes.
That's fine if we got to the front. But I guess I'm a teacher's daughter. So the fact that fact and choice are capitalized kind of bothers me. And we don't have, and we don't have anything for equity. It's like equity is
a process.
Yeah. Equity is fairness in the middle.
Yeah,
in fact,
the middle one
doesn't
have one.
No, go ahead, Tim.
I've had the same sort of hesitation. I make my living editing other people's work, and I just don't think these are great pieces of writing. I think they're fine. And I would, if everyone likes them, I would vote for them and I supported them. I think they're accurate. I also don't think that they're great. I think that, and I just don't know if there's any interest in, you know, taking 2 weeks to try to find something better. I'm sure there are a gazillion versions of, you know, these three definitions online. And it just strikes me that, you know, maybe we could find something that is great. If we look, so I don't know, and I say that with complete appreciation of the skill and generosity of the person that drafted these and shared these with us. It's not criticism, but I don't know that these are the very best definitions that exist.
I kind of feel like it's more about the substance than the form. Like I'm not looking for Hemingway. I just, you know, and I feel like it's all there. I guess I don't care as much.
Jessica.
I support taking 2 weeks about the equity definition. I think the equity definition is really important. Whatever, that would just be my opinion, like diversity is diversity, inclusion is okay. But I think, I mean, there are a lot of definitions out there for equity and there we can find them from different sources. And this is only one source. And I think that they work, like he said, but I don't know that they're like amazing, but I support the idea of like taking a little bit of time and seeing if we find other like great definitions for my own.
Can I ask what you think might make it great?
Well, I was gonna wait until the discussion got to equity because we're not really there yet. We're still on like diversity and inclusion, but in my experience doing this kind of work, equity is about outcomes and equity is about the impact of policies. And that's not in here, it just says that it's kind of about opportunities. So that is something that I was gonna raise and maybe like either bring it back at our next meeting or send an email or something, but that's just an idea that I had.
Liz, did you want to say something?
I would like some clarification again whether we're talking about definitions or terms that are more something that we agree upon as the purpose. So that would just be helpful.
Yes, so I think that these terms will allow us to build the framework around what we are doing, and the board has asked us to provide that to them so that they have an understanding of the work that we're doing. If we were to add a sentence, Jessica, that includes outcomes and impacts of policy, would that be okay for you tonight or?
I don't know about tonight. I kind of would like to look and see like some other resources that I'm aware of and other like groups that I know of that do this work nationally and the city and, you know, local and just see what they say and what they have and maybe like somebody else wants to do that, but I don't think I have something that I can concretely say tonight. I want to like rubber stamp.
Go ahead, Mindy, and then Cindy.
No, I was just going to say when I read this, my initial reaction to equity was very similar to Jessica. I didn't think it
clarified things enough and made it clear what we're really talking about. It was a harder one for me as well. So I don't have suggestions, but I did feel like it was, I had the most scribbled notes on the equity question. Because it almost sounds like we're looking for something that's also kind of a guiding principle on what these mean a little bit, for if it's going to create a framework.
Yep. So we definitely have guiding principles for the work that we are doing. But these would be, yeah, this is, you know, the terms that we're using. So it's important.
All right, Mindy. Yep.
So at the original village board meeting, I asked for these definitions specifically to avoid the conversation. Not to avoid, to extricate the conversation about outcome versus opportunity. And I have a really difficult time trying to legislate or make policy about outcomes. I love these definitions because it was about opportunity, but outcomes, I have a really difficult time to trying to make this committee about making outcomes part of our goal.
Take that, you, because I know you know.
I have a problem, and I have had it with all of the definitions, but particularly the equity definition, in that I think that the language, as somebody commented, I would be much more harsh, but I think they've made it complicated by making it loosey-goosey language. If we were going to take any of these definitions to court, we would be in court till everybody was dead, for sure. Because there is every word here to be argued about.
Yeah.
But one of the things I do have a problem with is the word equity. Equity has a definite, not only dictionary definition, but legal definition that you can add on to it, and you can talk about how equity will lead you to outcomes or lead you to opportunities or lead you to these things. But equity really means the principle of fairness. The whole purpose of equity is to create fairness. And that's the definition that has been used for centuries. I have a hard time trying to change that. Now, if what we're talking about here is to give somebody a definition that we're going to work within this framework, and we have no intention ever of arguing, well, that's not in the definition. Yeah. Then we're making the definitions as big as they possibly can. Then it's perfectly fine with me. I have absolutely no problem with it. The fact that I can't make head or tails of it.
I don't think we're looking at this in the legal.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm not.
Oh, no. From any perspective,
I can't read it and make it into a logical sentence.
Yeah, I do want to say that in the second sentence, it does say the guarantee of fair treatment. So when you speak to that,
it does. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That is in there.
There would be no legal.
Well, I don't know if I can predict that.
Okay.
I mean, would these ever be subject to legal challenge? I don't think that's the type of setting we're talking about. At the same time, when we're talking about digging into village operations, potentially village policies, procedures, and we're doing it under the umbrella of equity, there could have a cascading effect. And so I'm going to turn it out to somebody in the room who I know kind of deals with some of this stuff sometimes. Sorry. I guess I'm just struggling with that only as I put on my practitioner's hat. I understand the point you're making, and I understand the point you're making. And so as I put on my administrator's hat, I can understand where you're going with it. At the same time, yeah, I don't know. I think I'd want a little bit of time to think about that. I don't know if I can say for sure as I sit here right now and kind
which
of-
That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, so, I mean, it seems like there's still a little bit of, if I can just kind of help, maybe. It seems like there's a level of discomfort making a decision tonight for some of the members. So my own personal opinion is that it's important that we build some consensus around this and get people to a place where they're comfortable. And so what I think at this point we may want to do is table this and come back at the next meeting and take some of this feedback in and work with it and see what we can do. Think about, because I don't want it to go on forever either, but.
So I would say, is this work that we can do outside? So if people have suggestions between now and the next meeting to submit those, I'm wondering if there is an opportunity to get a working group together to.
There can be. So with the Open Meetings Act, you can't meet as more of a majority. You can't meet beyond the majority of a quorum. So a quorum is, how many members do we have? 45 people? 43 plus the chairs. 42 plus the chairs, so 45. Fast math, 23 people, 24. And so the majority of a quorum, if a quorum is, let's call it 24, majority of a quorum is 13. So you have to have a smaller group of people meeting. Here's the other thing I will tell you, whether you're in a meeting, well, particularly if a meeting, anything you text, anything you email about committee business during the matter, during the course of the public meeting, it's public record. So be mindful of that. And anything you share outside of the meeting, even if it's over your personal email, is a matter of public record. And this is not to have a chilling effect, but I just want to be very clear and upfront. Anything you email me is a matter of public record and subject to FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. So there's a lot of information that can be redacted under certain rules of FOIA, right? Like if you submit, like for instance, if your phone number is not readily available, I don't produce that, but your address is publicly available information. So we are very careful with that. But nevertheless, just keep that in mind in terms of subgroups, small group discussions, email chains, reply to all is the death of the Open Meetings Act. Please don't do that. Just keep that in mind. I certainly don't have an issue with it. I'm just providing the guidance in case that conversation needs to happen. So if there's an email, if there's something you want to share, pick a chairperson and send it off, and then we can help distribute it to the rest of the group too.
I just want to say, I think from what I'm hearing, it sounds like no matter what we decide, we need to know, is this a framework? Or is this a definition that'll be used going forward to and could be challenged based on the fact that it's a definition?
I think that's for our village attorney, correct?
Yeah. And so I think that guides everything, because everyone's saying, in my opinion, very similar things, that the you know, the nuts and the bolts are there, but we need to make sure if this is up for challenge that it, you know, withstands the test of time. And so,
would it help to qualify them as working statements and understandings rather than use the word definition?
I don't know the answer to that. It sounds like Abby.
I do think that they, whether it's legal or not, these do have meaning. I mean, this is what we are holding ourselves accountable to. I mean, this is, if we are going to make a recommendation to the village to advance equitable practices within government or to develop more inclusive policies, we are going to be looking to these standards to know, is that, you know, is that an equity outcome, or is that, you know, just, well, something that's nice or fair, or, you know, I think these are meaningful and we should be held accountable to them internally. So I don't think it's just a guidance or, you know, I guess something that we just.
I'm wondering if we get a subset of people to work on this. Okay, so what would that look like then in terms of?
Can you speak a little louder?
Sure. So the question is, should there be a subgroup to discuss this? The answer is, yeah, we certainly can do that. It has to be within a certain number of people. So again, those fast math things, I would say 12 or less in order to do that. That way you don't have to post a meeting agenda. But what I would say is, let's make sure the group supports that.
Right.
No. Yeah, yeah. And then what I think we would need to do, so just formally, there's a motion and a second on the floor. Either we table it or we have to take action on the motion that's been made and seconded. So if somebody tables it, that's the trump card. that right word. That sets the motion aside. That's probably a better term these days, right? That means that we will not take action on it tonight. So from a parliamentary procedure standpoint, if we want to ask the people who made the motion, Mindy and Anya, to modify their motion to table this and ask that a subgroup be formed, and we can take volunteers to discuss this, and then let's talk a minute about our next meeting schedule, and that's one option we can take.
So I agree with the first part of the motion, but I thought we decided at the last meeting that we were not going to have subgroups, that this was the group that we would use to do things. So maybe when I went back and listened to the meeting, maybe I'm just mishearing that.
No, I think there's going to be, given the size of the group, I think the notion of subcommittees at some point makes a lot of sense.
Okay. I just misheard it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And when do we ask questions? Do you have to wait for a motion to ask questions?
No. So discussion is when you ask questions.
Oh. I mean, what would a working group look like? Couldn't people just submit definitions and we could just read them and then come?
We could, but you might have, if you work together as a group, you may bring those, and anything that the group individuals provide would be funneled to that working group, and they could use all of that to come with something that feels stronger than what we have in front of us tonight. So there would be work done outside of our normal meeting to get something, you know, stronger.
No question.
Could we call a question at least to vote on the motion and see how many people in the room want to go forward with the definition or the working framework that we have currently versus creating
this? So we could do that. And if there's a majority of people who vote no, then it means these are not our definitions. But we also need to come back to the issue. So what I don't want this to do is for the issue to die. Because if you vote no on it, technically, I don't want the issue to die. I think it would be better if you're going to, maybe we straw poll it. But again, I think if we're trying to be in the spirit of inclusivity, trying to get everybody comfortable with where we're at, we may get to a point where we're never comfortable, you know, where not every single person is completely comfortable with everything is. But it seems to me, it feels to me that there's enough discussion around this to hit the pause button and do more work.
Yeah, this was something that was presented tonight, right, without your input. And so we're getting input now. And if we want to do more work around these definitions, I think that's fine and great, you know, depending on what you guys want to do.
Point of information, would it be helpful if we were to ask the mover and the seconder to just withdraw both the motion and the seconding, and then consider what we are actually saying in the statement in the agenda, consideration and recommendation?
I think
it doesn't say a vote.
I think you need to take, my recommendation is you take it.
Go ahead.
Can anybody move to table a motion?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think it overrides the motion to take action. But
I move to table the motion.
Second.
Can we talk about the working?
Yeah, so I guess that, yeah, fair enough. And then is there opposition? Let's just do straw polls. Is there opposition to a working group? Are there people who would like to participate in a working group?
Which question?
Is there support for a working group?
Yes.
All right. Are there volunteers for a working group? As long as we don't have more than 12, that's fine.
Tim, you offer.
Three, four, five. One, two.
Is that five?
Five.
Okay.
I did want to get to John here, just one quick.
Yeah.
Just if this helps, just maybe with perspective, a couple things that we're not doing here, we are not providing the Merriam-Webster's definition of these terms or the encyclopedia definition. I don't think. I also don't think that we are providing a manual that the village would be responsible for. The attorney would do that separately, I'm assuming. This is just like a, from the commission, and it's sort of a working definition that we're using to sort of come up with legislation or other programs. But it's the, if we hire a consultant, the village does hire a consultant, and then, they review everything and they decide to change the policies for employees or change the policies for, elected officials or residents, lots of different things. I'm assuming they would write that as a document, right? It would be like some kind of manual, some kind of official.
So if we were doing something based on,
Yeah, so if there's something that's applicable to employees, it's part of a personnel handbook that's adopted by the Village Board of Trustees.
So there, and then an attorney would write that. He wouldn't be using, he wouldn't take this word for word. So what? My point is that we're not writing the manual, and we're also not writing, some broad dictionary definition that everyone in USA is going to use. And this was written by somebody who does this for a living, and so I don't want to undervalue it either. And then, of course, there's there's sort of criticism either way about the style of writing. I actually like it, but other people don't. But I think it's effective the way it's written. So I just wanted to say that I think it has a lot of value. I think it's concise, and it has the right action verbs or definitions, and I think it's a good piece of writing. So
going back again through parliamentary procedure, I think what we're doing is not to suspend this motion indefinitely. It's to postpone it until the next meeting of the group. Does everybody agree? Do the people who made the motions agree? We're just postponing a decision as opposed to tabling it forever. Okay. In that case, then we can just do a voice vote to postpone the discussion until the next meeting of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group. And it's just a simple majority vote. Fair enough?
Fair.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. In the interest of time, because I see that we're kind of coming to the conclusion, I think we need to postpone. We'll just take up these other matters and they'll be under unfinished business under the next meeting. What I would really like to get to before we leave tonight is just a conversation, and we don't have to make the choice tonight, but just sort of a quick presentation. We're trying to set a time parameter so everybody knows what to expect. I think it's helpful to know this meeting ends at this time, whether you have personal commitments, work commitments, whatever they may be. I think that's helpful. But to try to get on some sort of a regular meeting cycle so that it's predictable. And so what we have proposed is, because Mondays don't work for everybody and Tuesdays don't work for everybody, right? So going with the first Monday of the month and the third Tuesday of the month. Now, if there's no business to discuss, which I don't foresee anytime soon, if there's no business to discuss or we don't have a quorum, we would cancel the meeting, but this would be the schedule that we would all be able to put on our calendars. Dominican can put it on their calendars. Is there any... I mean, we've been a Monday, Tuesday so far. Does this work? Nodding heads, shaking heads?
It works fine, except the first Monday of July is July 5th, which is
not. Correct. So we would have to skip July 5th. Village Hall is closed. And we would resume then, whatever that next date is.
Tuesday the 20th.
Thank you.
Of July. It would be the Thursday, right?
Tuesdays.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So, just in terms of the structure of board and commission and advisory group meetings, there are a lot of meetings on Thursdays. There are a lot of meetings on Mondays. Those are pretty much the two heavy days of the week for the village. And so some of it is partly my availability too, because the groups I staff are meeting on Thursdays. Is there any strong opposition? We always change it, but does this seem reasonable?
Third Tuesday of each month.
First Monday, third Tuesday. Yeah. That's nodding heads.
Yeah.
We just still send out reminders now, just because I think that, at least for me, like third Tuesday, I will forget about it if I don't put it on my calendar. Like, would be opposed to putting out like reminder, you have a meeting this week, especially because I know people's lives could fill up really quickly. And I think giving a week's notice, even though we have a notice in like the schedule, I think we can do it. Those are just my thoughts.
So one thing too to keep in mind is a resource, certainly you can do that. As a resource, the Village's website has all of the meetings and agendas on it. And so let me just do a quick screen share while you guys are all packing up your belongings for the night.
Also, just Lisa did a great job. Are you guys like this meeting room much better? Is that true? Is there any issue? Yeah.
So
and the closed caption.
Yeah. Well, that was a great suggestion. And so I'm screen sharing real quickly. So if you go to the Village's website, let me just do a little plug for our website, VRF, as in Village River Forest, .us, and you go to Agendas and Minutes, you will find a listing of every advisory group meeting. And then if you go over here, like age-friendly advisory group, their agenda is available online, totally clickable. And you can find everything there. The meeting packets are available as well.
For River Forest Matters, is that the calendar?
No, so there's a couple other places you can get to, right? So calendar here, you can use that. And then there's also, here's our calendar. Sorry, you guys will see this. Okay, my screen is just the one that's messed up. So you can see everything on a calendar basis here. And then there's also the River Forest Community Calendar, which rfhappenings.com, which includes village meetings, park district events, school district events, so all the agencies, all the different agencies that participate in this are listed down at the bottom. So the village, the school districts, park district library,
and I think that you can incorporate from here, I think you can incorporate those into your phone, into your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be, so River Forest Happenings?
Yes, rfhappenings.com. And you can click, as you see this list here, you can click on what agencies you don't see. So if you just want to see the Village's events, you'll click on that. And yeah, this does integrate with your calendars.
Yeah.
So the other thing I can do too, I use Outlook. I can always send meeting invitations.
That would be wonderful.
And you might be able to add them to your calendar from there.
If you're able to do that.
Yeah, I'll try to do that. All right. We need to do a voice vote. Oh, no, we did voice vote on motion to table, correct? Yes.
Jordan.
Then we just need a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Who are you, anarchists? Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.